Before I preach this morning, I would like to thank you, the session, and you, the congregation of St. Paul's, for inviting me to be your anniversary speaker today. I've always enjoyed coming into this church. One of my earliest memories of coming to Norwood and Havelock back in 1988 was coming into Peterborough to this church. I had heard a lot about your minister at that time, the Reverend Alex Calder. And I can remember driving up Water Street, and I had been told by some that it was quite a regular occurrence to see Reverend Calder walking up Water Street against the wind in a hurry towards the church. And sure enough, I saw him on the go. And I met him here at the church, and he was one of those ministers who first made me feel at home here in this community. So I have appreciated this congregation through all of my years of ministry here. I just retired back in November, and I was surprised, actually, when I really stopped to think about the fact that I've been here for 29 years. It just seemed like yesterday that I'd started my ministry in Norwood and Havelock, and all of a sudden, 29 years later, it was coming, as it were, to an end. But I've always enjoyed ministry, and particularly standing here in this pulpit preaching God's word to God's people. And so I'm going to ask you to join with me in prayer this morning as we ask God to bless us together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word, the Bible, which you have given to us. We ask that you would take those words which have just been read, lift them up and out of the pages of your holy book and into our heart and into our mind, that they might come to life inside of each one of us this morning, to be understood by us now, be put into practice in our life from this day forth. We ask all of this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Ascension Sunday, not Ascension Day, because Ascension Day takes place exactly 40 days after Easter. And that won't happen this year until this coming Thursday. But today, as we celebrate Ascension Sunday, we remember Christ leaving this earth to return to heaven. As Christ left this earth, we need to remember that things weren't altogether easy for his disciples. After his death on that cross at Calvary, they were a very frightened bunch of followers. They hid away in a room for fear that the same thing might happen to them that had happened to their master. And as they dealt, as it were, with their fears, they had to deal as well with their despair, because what did all of this mean? Jesus, as the word was dead. Was that the end? And even as they contemplated that question, they just had to deal a few days later with the news that Jesus wasn't dead, but that he was alive. It was hard for them, as I'm sure it probably would be hard for us, as the word, to understand how someone could come back from the dead. It wasn't a common occurrence. And yet, it had happened. And so elation began, as it were, to creep into their souls. But they still weren't altogether sure. They had reports, as it were, of Jesus being seen here or there. And yet it wasn't until we read the account from Luke this morning that Jesus actually appeared unto them. And what they had heard about, now they saw in person. They saw Jesus. They talked to Jesus. They even ate a meal, okay, with Beth and Jesus. But as quickly as then the whole ideas were of Jesus being alive again and risen from the dead, so it began to sink in, they also had to begin to wrestle with the fact that Jesus was leaving them. Left them with questions like, well, where do we go from here? What now? As they were asking those questions, that's when Jesus came to them to bring answers to those kinds of questions in their heart and in their mind. And as Jesus spoke to them, as they were in that room, as he spoke to them on a hill outside of Jerusalem before he would ascend up into the heavens, he had some simple instructions for his disciples to follow. First thing that I want you, as it were, to take note of this morning is what Jesus said first and foremost to his disciples. He told them to wait. Wait for what? According to what is read in Luke's gospel and even in the book of Acts, he told them to wait for the promise of the Father to be fulfilled. Do you know what the promise of the Father is? Well, the answer to that question is given to us this morning in our Old Testament scripture reading from the book of Jeremiah. Because in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, God is speaking to his people. And he tells them in these verses, I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. It'll be a covenant that is different from all of the other covenants, as it were, that I have made with Abraham and Noah and even Moses. No, this covenant will be written in the mind and the hearts of the people. They will know me inside and out. As Jesus says, God speaks to the people about this new way, as it were, of coming, as it were, to them and being with them. He puts it into a context. He tells the people of the time, when the time comes for this new covenant, as it were, to be implemented, it will take place at a time when I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. You need to understand that in the days of Jeremiah, in the days leading up to Jesus Christ, sin wasn't washed away. Sin was only covered over. The Jewish people, year by year, had to go up, as it were, to the temple in Jerusalem and offer their sacrifices to God. And in so doing, their sins were covered for another year until they would have to come back and do it all over again. But in Jesus Christ's death on that cross at Calvary, all of your sins and my sins were washed away for good, so that we could be forgiven and our sins would be no more. Remembered not by God, and I pray remembered no longer by us as well. Yes, this is the new covenant. This is the promise of the Father that Jesus was talking about. It would be a promise, as it were, that would be internalized, as it were, inside of each person. It would be a promise of, it would be a promise, as it were, a covenant, as it were, in which people would really know God from the inside. This would be a different kind of understanding or knowledge of God than a simple head knowledge. It would be a heart knowledge. One of the best ways, as it were, that I can illustrate what is being said, as it were, here by Jesus, is by going into a marriage relationship between a husband and wife. We know this morning that there is one couple celebrating a 63rd anniversary. Well, stop and think about it. When you get married, there's a lot that you have to learn about one another. There's a lot of facts, that you gather over time. There's a lot of things you can record in a book, but there's a lot of things that you can't. There's a lot of things, that you learn about one another as you simply live with one another day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. It scares me sometimes when I'm with my wife. And I say that honestly because I can be thinking something at one end of the room, and the next thing I know, I see her getting up and doing it at the other end of the room. And I'm sure she could probably say the same things about me. But just see, what that means is that we really do know one another in the deepest, most personal sort of way. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a kind of personal relationship that God wants to have with each one of us. That is at the heart, as it were, of the promise of the Father, made, as it were, to Jeremiah and the people of Israel thousands of years before Jesus Christ ever came. It is the promise, that Jesus came to fulfill through his death on the cross at Calvary and through his resurrection. We need to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross, not just, to take away your sin or to provide a way for your sin to be washed away. Jesus Christ also came that there would be a cleansed vessel in you in which the Holy Spirit could come and live inside of you and reside with you through the course of the rest of your life. That is what the promises of the Father is all about. It's about the Holy Spirit coming in to your life and my life. And for you, the Holy Spirit, allowing us, to develop a deeper and more personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. To hear what God is saying to us. And to be guided, by the Holy Spirit day by day in our lives. As we think about the Holy Spirit this morning, as we think about the promise of the Father, we need to think not only of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life, but we also need to think whether we are listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us and doing what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do from day to day in our lives. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to be doing what God wants us, as we're to do, in and through our lives. The truth is that the Holy Spirit has come to dwell inside of all Christians, that we might clearly hear God's will for our lives and do what he is asking us to do. And may I say to you this morning that there is nothing that is better for us to have taking place in our lives than that. Because when the Holy Spirit is living in our life like this and guiding and directing us, we're going to get the best advice. We're going, receive the best guidance and direction in our life, because no guidance and direction is better for us than that of God himself. And the truth is that the Holy Spirit is simply God's conduit between him himself and each one of us. As we think about the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives today, it means that we need to do what Jesus told the disciples is the work to do a long time ago. And that is to wait. To wait on the Lord. To wait on the Holy Spirit as He lives inside of us, as God's word would speak to us and through Him. I know here at St. Paul's, you are going through some challenging times. You have a rich heritage as a congregation in this city. 185 years of serving the Lord in and around this community. You have a wonderful congregation. There's a great mix of old and young. There's a joy and vitality is the word that I see, is the word here from amongst you. Prayer and Bible study are fundamental parts, is the word of the church's life. You continue to serve this community through your lunches, and service, and suppers, and so on and so forth. Yes, Christ continues to live and work through this congregation. And yet, as you look ahead to the future, you look ahead to the imminent and possible sale of this building. And the question that begs to be asked then is, where will we go from here? And what will we do next? Those are very challenging questions. And I'm sure there are very important questions that lay on your hearts. And so my simple advice to you this morning is the advice that Jesus gave to his disciples a long time ago when he said to them, wait. Wait on the Holy Spirit. Wait on where the Holy Spirit is, where would say, guide you or lead you the word to go. Waiting is not something that is easy for any one of us as we're to do. Especially in this go-go world in which we live in, and especially when too often we think that we know better than anybody what we should do. And nobody's going to tell me as it were otherwise. But reality, all of us as Christians have been called to wait on the Lord, to wait on the Holy Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit, as it were, guide us. If we're to wait on the Lord, that also means that we're required to listen. To listen to what the Holy Spirit is going to say to us. Because God always, as it were, has a message, as it were, for his people. Whether it's in terms of your personal life and what God wants you personally to do, or whether it's in what God wants, as it were, his church to do. In the days ahead, it's going to be as important for you to listen to what the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit is saying to you, as much as it is to wait and for that is the word to happen. As God calls, or as Jesus called his disciples to wait and to listen as it were to the Holy Spirit, it wasn't without Jesus himself practicing what the scriptures also tell us to do. And that is to check out anything and everything that we hear with God's word. You notice in that passage from the Gospel of Luke this morning that as Jesus came to his disciples and as he showed them, as it were, proofs in terms of his life, that he took them into the scriptures to explain to them exactly what the scriptures had to say about the Messiah and how he would come and what he would do and how they would know as to who really is the Messiah. Yes, it's important, as it were, for you, not just to wait on the Holy Spirit, to listen to the Holy Spirit, but to check out what you hear in God's Word. Because God will never tell you to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. Last but not least, you can do all the waiting and listening and checking on the scriptures if you want, but in the end, if you don't do what the Holy Spirit is telling you, okay, to do, you're not going to get anywhere, and you're certainly not going to fulfill the plan and purpose, as the word that God has, as the word for you, for your life, for the life of this congregation. I can honestly tell you this morning that the best is yet to come for this congregation. That is, as you were prepared to wait and to listen, to check the scriptures and to do what the Holy Spirit is telling you that to do. Because God's plans are always the best of plans. And I know that God has a plan for this congregation. Sometimes when we're going through this process, we can become anxious. We can become, we want to move the process as though we're through a little quicker. But reality is, it has to take place and unfold as we're in God's own time and in God's own way. So the best piece of advice I can give to you as you go through the, would follow the leading of the Lord here is to do what Jesus said to his disciples, and that was to come to me. Why? Because when you're doing the word what God wants, when you're doing the word what Jesus is telling you to do, when you're doing what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, you will have peace in your hearts. Jesus' opening words to his disciples when he came to them in the Luke passage this morning were simply these: peace be with you. As we walk with the Lord, as we walk in the Spirit, and as you have to make decisions, and as you have to determine what actions you are going to take, if you do it all as with them, being guided and directed as with by God through the Holy Spirit, you will have peace. It means that you won't have as were struggles, but you will have a peace that passes all understanding. A peace that comes from your trust in the Lord. From your faith, as it were, in God, and through our wonderful Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. This kind of peace requires an attitude and a mindset. Part of God's people requires the word you believing that there's nothing that's impossible for God to do, and that through Jesus Christ, the leading of the Holy Spirit, that God has a plan for this church, and he will see it through to its fruition. I pray that in the days and weeks and months ahead that you will let the Holy Spirit lead you, that you will listen to a what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, and that you will do what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. I pray that as you practice that, that you will experience all that God has in store for this congregation in the next chapter of its life in this community. May God bless you all.